Well, we are going to continue to talk about the Israelites and what they've been doing. Last week, Moses brought them up to the Promised Land, and they sent in the 10 spies, the 12 spies, to scope it out. And 10 of them said, no way, not going to do it. And so since they refused to do what God asked them to do, he said, I'm going to leave you all in the desert, and once you guys die, then I'm going to bring a group of people who will obey, which is an important thing to keep in mind for us. When God brings us to a place where he says, this is what I want you to do, even when there are giants involved, if God says, this is what I want you to do, if we say yes, we get to see the promised land. If we say no, what God does is says, okay, I'll go find somebody else that will. He will still get it done. It's just whether or not I want to get to participate in the great things God is doing. Well, the Israelites have, the guys that are left, they've grown up now. And Joshua, he's one of the two people who said, let's go obey God, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua is now the leader of Israel. And he has brought the children of God back to the same place they were before. And we're going to get to talk about something special today. So I'm looking forward to this. It's quite interesting. God can take trash from the junkyard and turn them into superheroes. That's what we're going to talk about today. First, let's start with our mission statement. Let's say this together. With the Spirit of God, we will build relationships, lead others to Jesus, and disciple believers to be Christ-like. And today we are trying to be Christ-like. We are becoming discipled this morning. That's our goal for today. If you're able, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 2. There's a Bible in front of you. And Joshua is toward the beginning of the Bible. There's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. So it's the sixth book in the Bible. And we're going to look at the second chapter. And today we're going to talk about Rahab. And how God can take something that most people would throw away and then turn it into a fine diamond. When we walk through stores, or you walk through, I love resale shops. I see a lot of junk. And every once in a while you're looking for that diamond in the rough. You're looking for that beautiful thing to catch your attention. That's the way we look at things. But we're going to see today that God walked through and found something that most everyone else would just walk past. And he took that and turned it into something to be honored. So if you are able to stand, we're just going to take a look at Joshua chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. I have the New King James Version. It's just what I picked up this morning. So if you have something a little different, our words might be different. It relays the same message. So Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. We'll read through these quickly. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, there's a joke there, sent out two men from Acacia to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Oh my goodness. And it was told the king of Jericho, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I don't know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she brought them up to the roof and hid them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in the order of the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now here's the fun part. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were the other side of the Jordan, whom you utterly destroyed. in the last verse. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your words today, and I hope that as we are looking through them and digging through them, I know that you will find a place for us personally to take to heart what you have. You will teach me today. Teach us all. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. You are welcome to have a seat. We're going to take a look at Rahab. She's pretty popular. Once you come to the story of Jericho, there are a few things that we always talk about. The Israelites marched around the city. The walls fell down. And then the Israelites stayed in the house of a prostitute. What's interesting about Rahab is whenever you hear Rahab's name, it's always followed by the harlot. Even hundreds and thousands of years later, whenever you hear the name Rahab, you always hear Rahab the harlot. So she never gets away from what she was. But we're going to see as we go through today that there was no need to get away from what she was. Her occupation always follows her name. And her lifestyle, if she was somebody today, she would be one of those girls like I met when I first went back to junior high. If your mother would have known you talked to her and hung out with her, she would have been very disappointed. She was one of those girls. I learned all about Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses, from one person in particular of ill repute. She's one of those people you tell your kids, don't hang out with these people because you don't want them to turn into that. Well, that's who Rahab was. But she has become an illustration that it's never too late for God to take something that most people look down on and turn it into what God can use. So we talked about already that the Israelites had come to Jericho, and they sent in two spies, and maybe we talked about this in Sunday school, but when Moses first came, he sent in 12 spies, and two came back with a good report. I don't know why this happened, but Joshua, you know, if I was Joshua, I'd think, you know, I got two people came back, let's just send in two this time, and maybe we can get a good report. He sent in two, and they came back and said, you know what, here's what's happened. They went up, and when they went in, the way the house was, when you come into the gate, the first place you come into, you know, her house is right on the wall. Now, why she chose a house right on the wall, I think there could have been economic benefits for her being really close to the gate. So men have been out for a long time, and they come in, and then the first, you know, right inside the gate, right on the wall, here's Rahab's house. There may have been reasons, but the Israelites took advantage of this, and what happened was she said, you know, I've heard about these things that your God is doing, and I'm here to strike a deal with you. I've heard. And when the soldiers came to her house looking for the Israelites, those two spies, she said, yeah, I know who you're talking about. And we mentioned this in class today. I know who you're talking about. They already left. And she misled the soldiers. The reason she did that, I think, is because she knew, or she had, and it says in Joshua chapter 2, we've all heard about how incredible your God is. And at this point, Rahab begins making a choice. She says, I've heard how your God is. I know where I'm living, and I'm beginning to reposition my life to line up with the most powerful, which is what she's doing. Now, she is. She talks to the Israelites when they're in there, so the soldiers leave. And she says, here's the way out. You know, they're going to be looking for you. Go down and hide for 3 days. But before you go, don't forget what I've done for you. I know who your God is. And when you come back to take the city, she says, deal kindly with me and my dad, my mom, sister, my brother, my cousin, my nephew, my dog, my cat. I've got a little hamster. She, you know, throws it away. Don't forget me and my people. She says, I have chosen to serve to risk everything for God's children. Don't forget me. Deal kindly with me. And this word that she uses, kindly, is interesting. She says, the word is hesed. You know, so now you know some Hebrew. And that word means, I have it here somewhere, where'd it go? I hate computers. She says, I already know, it's here. She says, deal kindly with me. And that's kind of in your loving kindness, you should cover me. That's what she's saying. When you come back, I would like a covering of your kindness over me. We see this in other places in the Bible too, this same phrasing. If you know the story of, it's similar to an umbrella. We'll talk about the others, but she is saying, I know the torrential downpour is coming. So how I can envision it, how you can too, is like an umbrella. I know the rain is coming and it's going to get really wet, but we can imagine an umbrella over Rahab and her family. When you come, put a covering of kind, loving protection over me and my family. So whatever happens, we will not be destroyed through it. And that's what the Israelites decide to do. She took a risk identifying with God. And she said, because of this risk, I am expecting a covering of kind, loving protection over me. Which, you know, today some of us are really confident in saying, God, I'm going to do this and you better do it back. I generally don't tell God what to do. I ask, like, if you see that it fits into your plan, would you be nice? Rahab, you know, she's not educated in God enough to know that you don't tell God what to do. I'm being a little bit joking here. She tells the spies, you know, I am taking a step of faith out for you, and what I'm asking in return is you to cover me with your protection. And the spies said, okay, here's what you need to do. Hang a red ribbon out your window when we come. Now, there's a song, I don't know who sings it, tie a yellow ribbon around the oak tree. You know, if you remember that song, that's kind of what she's doing. When we pass by here, we'll know, oh, this is the house that we belong, that we can't touch. And what she's doing, when she takes this ribbon and hangs it out of her window, for the Israelites coming to her, she is making a confession that she has aligned herself with Yahweh, who she describes the most powerful God. She's taking this thing, sticking it out, and when the Israelites come, they can see that is the place where the woman who has aligned herself with God lives. She is making a confession. And what we look at Matthew chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but I think it's interesting, Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, Jesus tells the disciples, everyone listening, he says, if you are willing to confess me before men, I will confess you before God, which is our ultimate desire. When we get to heaven and we stand before God in judgment, Jesus would be the one to say, hey, he's with me. He has my covering of protection over him. Or she's with me. She has my covering. And as Rahab hangs this rope out of her window, this red rope, red ribbon, she is saying, I'm with him. She's identifying. She is confessing to be a part of that group. And as the soldiers come, they know this is the lady who has the covering of protection. Interesting. Now, some of us, I'll just say in general, probably not in this church, but some of us like to make deals with God when we think things are getting ready to go down. It's getting ready to fall apart. And so we make these deals. Now, here, if you'll protect me, I promise I'll get you out of here. That's what Rahab said. We make our own deals with God. Say, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do this back. And then it's some of us, not here, other people, try to become like the CIA operatives. They're covert. Nobody knows. You know, when stuff finally starts happening, they're like, they start backing up. You can't tell what's going on. That's not the kind of person God's looking for. Rahab hung an identifying marker out of her window, said, I live right here. And all of God's children recognized it. And we need to take the same boldness of confessing our belief to God. Now, there's some, we could go a few different ways with, well, Rahab lived in a filthy nation and she didn't just go rat out the Israelites. How that confession works depends on the life that you're living, the environment that you're in. But I want my desire to be, when stuff starts going down, I want them to know I am a child of God. She confessed her relationship to God before everyone, and God provided his protection. She said, deal kindly with me. And that's what happened. Now, Joshua isn't the only book of the Bible that we can find the story of Rahab. She's also in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read a few places or a few verses out of Hebrews chapter 11. She comes there, and what the writer of Hebrews has done is he set up all of these great people of God. He's saying, you know, here's some great men of God. He names Moses. He names Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Barak, Moses. And then he gets to this really interesting part. And I know Hebrews is in here somewhere. I'm just kidding. Hebrews chapter 11. And if you'll look in, if you have your Bible and you want to turn there, you don't have to, but I'll read it for you. So the writer of Hebrews goes through this big long list of these men that we look at and think, I could never, ever, ever be like them. God has never used me to lead a nation out of slavery, or God never used me to build something great, or, you know, how Jacob was incredibly wealthy and everything he did, he prospered. That's not me. You know, I'm not those people. The writer names all of these people that are wonderful. And then we come to verse 31. And he says, by faith, after all this other stuff, the harlot, the prostitute, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies in peace. Now, why, I wonder, do we always hear that Rahab was a prostitute? Because even here in Hebrews, you know, this has happened a long time ago, and the writer of Hebrews knows her whole story. And we like to think that maybe I want to drop that other part of my life. There's a word that we talk about, like some of us may have a past that is sorted. Like, I'd like to sort that out, and I'd like to sort that out, and can we just leave it back there in the past? Rahab had a sorted past. But when we come to Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews still says she's a harlot. That doesn't mean she's a practicing harlot. He's saying that woman who was a prostitute had faith. Some of us, there are things about my life I think, you know, I'm getting through that. People say, hey, now what have you been doing or what have you done for the last 36 years? Some parts I like to leave out. Like, probably should have thought that one through a little bit more. But she can't ever get a break. She's always the harlot. That's what we come to here. And what we see is that Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, is saying she was, but now is. She was this, and it's actually a point of hope for us that you see that, you know, no matter what I was, God can turn something that was into what is. James chapter 2, it's the next book, if you have your Bibles open still. James chapter 2, I'm going to read a few verses to you. Verses 14 through 17, they say, what does it profit, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled. So the Ben Munsey translation is, if you see somebody that's really hungry and doesn't have any clothes and you say, hope you find some food, but you don't give them the things they are needed for the body, what does it profit? It means your well-wishing is worthless. Also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Let's look at verse 25 and 26. We've just said, if you have faith but you don't take any action on it, it's worthless. Verse 25 says, was not Rahab, the prostitute or the harlot, justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Which is interesting. he points out two things about what Rahab did. He said, Rahab received them because she had heard. And then she sent them out another way, which we can consider she followed through on what she knew. She didn't just say, oh yeah, I've heard. That's really bad. I know God is getting ready to do something. I know things are happening. She didn't just say that. She said, I heard things are happening, and I am going to participate and see it through. She saw it through to the end. Which it's nice, unless you have a really short attention span. Because sometimes we see God doing things and we start to, that would be great. I really believe. When's lunch? Sometimes we have these short attentions and we fail to follow through on what's going, because we know if I follow this through, for Rahab is, if I let these guys escape, I'm guilty. After the point where they climb down the wall and go, and if anyone here finds out, I'm dead. There's nothing I can do to get away from what I've done once I let him go. But she knew that was the right thing to do. And we have those decisions sometimes where we're like, yes, this is a great idea. I know this is what I should do. If I do it, there's no turning back. But there's a point where we have to drop the rope out of the window. Say, there you go. And that's where we come to at times in our lives where I'm looking at these decisions and say, it's not only believing that something is the right thing to do, it's having the follow through to actually do it. She is considered faithful because she acted out, she carried out her actions based on her faith. That's why the Bible and in the Old Testament, Hebrews and James, they talk about her, because she believed something and did something with it. She had faith, and that was accompanied by what she did, her works. Now, we aren't a church that likes to say you can earn God's love, because you cannot earn God's love. He loves you. But the Bible is pretty clear that if you do not act on what God has told you to do, then you are disobedient. And disobedience is not tolerated. What we want to do is act on that, which is what Rahab does. This is pretty interesting, so I'm going to finish with this. So we see that she acted on what she did. So she's a good lady. You know, she's one of those people. But we still don't want one of those people hanging around us. But what if God can take somebody that used to hide in the shadows and not only say, yes, I like you. Okay, we'll take this mess and maybe we can do something with it. I don't know. Well, yeah, give me a minute. Tell you what, you sit over there and I'll sit over here and you can be in the same room as me. Let's just keep our distance. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, Jesus did not say, hey, let's keep your distance. What happens is, you know, Matthew chapter 1 is the beginning of the story of Jesus. And most of us, we can start, you know, you read the first four words of Matthew chapter 1, the book of genealogy, and we think, skip it. That's what we do in the Old Testament. When we come to these long lists of names, we're like, psh, chapter 2. Chapter 1's pretty interesting, though. They go through all these people, like Hebrew does. They say, here are all these people that are great men of God. And then she said, the writer of Matthew says, and then there's this guy named Boaz, which some of you may know the story of Ruth and Boaz. It's in the book of Ruth. Ruth was not an Israelite, but decided to align herself with the children of God. And she told her mother-in-law, Naomi, my people, or your people will be my people. Your God is my God. She's saying, I'm making a contract with you to take care of her mother. And this guy hears about it and says, this is a woman of integrity. This is really cool. Ruth comes to Boaz in the evening. Pretty dicey story if you really get into it. But she comes to Boaz after she finds out, hey, I have found favor with this man. She lays down at his feet and takes his cloak and places it as a covering over herself. She asked Boaz to deal kindly with her. So now we have this outsider aligning herself and is asking for a covering of kindness. So Boaz marries her. Who's it say? Okay, so Boaz marries Ruth. And then they have these kids. And you're going through these kids. Boaz had Obed, and Obed had Jesse. But what's really interesting, if you look at their grandma, who was their grandma? There's this lady named Rahab that's listed as a family member of the King of the Universe, the prostitute. Jesus has a hooker in his family, and he doesn't even... Jesus has a harlot. You never know who's listening. Jesus has a harlot in his family, and he doesn't even try to hide it. That's somebody who comes along and hooks the material and takes it to another place that you want it, called hookers. He doesn't even hide the fact there is a woman with a sordid past in my life. And if I, being a child of God, can look at this and say, if Jesus isn't ashamed to say, that's part of my family, this is who she was, this is what she is, she's a part of my family. If Jesus can take this woman who used to be something and say, hey, that's my great-great-great-great-grandma, you know, add a few more greats, and be proud that she's in her past, then I need to evaluate how I look not only at the people around me and how judgmental I am about them, because I'm telling you, I have a terrible memory unless somebody hurts me. Then it's perfect. When somebody has something that they should have done better, let me tell you, I've got a list of 20 things of why they should have done it better. I'm being facetious a little bit. But it's really easy for us to remember things that other people want to forget and then forget all the good stuff. But when I look at this, I think I should reevaluate and see what God is doing today with them. And I also need to look at myself and say, if that's who I used to be, that's not who I always have to be. And just because I was that doesn't mean that I have to be embarrassed of myself for the rest of my life. It took me a long time to get over who I used to be. It took me quite a long time to get over who I used to be. And then somebody reminded me that God doesn't throw your past up in your face. If you keep being reminded of what you used to be, that's not God. Satan tries to kill you and destroy you. God says, I have a future for you. He had a future for Rahab. She hung the red scarf out her window and said, I am aligning myself with the children of God. And when she did that, she was brought into the family, and not only brought into the family, she lived well. Not just materially. God hooked her up, and she got to move on. Her past wasn't something that the Bible looks at as something to be ashamed of. Like, well, let's not talk about it. What they keep seeing is this woman was this, and God turned her into this. I need to remember, as God is working with other people, that God can take them where they are and turn them into something else if they're seeking Him. I also need to remember that if I was something, I don't have to always be that. He can turn me into something new. And that's the good news we see in Rahab. Who I was yesterday does not have to determine who I am tomorrow if I am willing to align myself with God today. Do you like how I did that little play on words? Who I was yesterday does not have to determine who I am tomorrow if I do something about it today. And that's what we see in Rahab. There's hope. She's actually one of the heroes of the faith. A prostitute is a hero of the faith because she acted on what she heard from God. And God took her and said, hey, this is one of my shining stars. That's what He can do for us too. That's my hope. If you're able to stand, let's stand. We will pray and dismiss. If anybody has anything they want to pray about or talk about, I'll be up here for a few minutes. I'd be happy to, but it's a good word of encouragement today that God can take something from the junk pile and turn it into a shining star. Thank you, God, for your encouragement and your hope, and I'm glad that you put these little nuggets in the Bible where we can dig through and see somebody like ourselves and what you can do with somebody like us. Help me to be more patient and more forgiving with people who you are working on. And whenever Satan tries to bring up what I was, help me to remember what you have for me in the future. Thank you for what you're doing with us individually and as a church. Keep guiding us and make us a big, bright light on the top of this hill. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. Have a great week.